Psalm 23, the first three verses, the infallible and inerrant word of the living God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I do pray that the Lord would add his blessings to the reading and our hearing of this most holy word. Sheep are incredible creatures of habit. If left unattended, they will graze over the same field repeatedly. They will eat from the same field, the same grass, down to the very root, to the point of killing the vegetation and basically killing the field. They will roam the same paths time and time again. The practice is damaging to the fields and certainly is not of value to the sheep. The sheep are in need of a shepherd that will lead them in a very strategic way from one field to the next field to the next field without covering the same ground until several months later. He will lead them along safe passages, safe paths to freshly grown vegetation, and that in this providing them the good nourishment that they need, but then also protecting the land from overuse. As Psalm 23 we've read here, is it from start to finish, it stresses a shepherd's gentle leading. And this leading is always very focused, very, as I've said, strategic. It is purposeful, and it is filled with goodness and mercy, as we will read later. And as we have already read, he leads them to green pastures. He leads them beside the still waters. And each of these being used to restore the sheep. He is intent on bringing his sheep away from that which is dangerous and evil. And away from that danger and bringing them into a place of safety each night as he brings the flocks together to bed down. And all of this that the shepherd has done, and we have talked about to this point, finds its conclusion in the statement I read there at the end of that passage. He, the shepherd, leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We too, like sheep, are creatures of habit. We get into our routines where we find comfort and peace. While all along the way, we may not realize that we potentially could be doing harm to ourselves. I think all of you would agree we find safety in our routines. We find comfort in our routines. However, could our routines prevent us from being led to new fields? Our overconfidence and safety that we find in these routines may cloud our vision, not allowing us to nourish and grow in different fields, different avenues, and different locations. We need a good shepherd. We need a good shepherd that will lead us to those nourishing fields that may very well, in all likelihood, take us out of our safety, take us out of our routines, take us out of that safe place. But these new fields would provide amply for our souls and cause us to grow. We need a good shepherd that will lead us, just as David has written here, into paths of righteousness. What are paths of righteousness? Before I answer that question, I would like to, as you know I'm prone to do, is to define words, to make sure we're understanding exactly all together what we're discussing here, which will help open up our understanding of these paths of righteousness. First of all, the verb lead. He leads me in paths of righteousness. First of all, that word lead, in grammar it's called a causative verb. We could better understand the sentence this way, or add to our understanding the sentence this way. He causes me to be led down paths of righteousness. As I said earlier, sheep will wander on their own over the same field, but the shepherd will come and cause the sheep to follow him because, A, they know his voice, they trust him, they know his authority, and so they follow. But the shepherd has to come into the field, meeting with the sheep and causing them to come. They will not come on their own. Again, we like sheep, like our safe routines and habit, but the good shepherd comes and through the work of the Holy Spirit causes us to follow. We will not follow on our own. Our natures are not given to that good shepherd and his leadings. Yes, we are redeemed, but how quickly does that sin pop up in our lives? How quickly does rebellion pop up in our lives? How quickly does waywardness pop up in our lives? But the Holy Spirit comes, and through that conviction, through that discipline maybe, leads us, causes us to be led down paths of righteousness. All right, the next word. Let's look at that word path. Path. Here, path is defined as this: an entrenchment which was caused by a wagon wheel. Think of that picture in your mind. How many of you thought the path of righteousness was a path? It's not. It's a rut. As one made by a wagon wheel. These are not broad, wayward, wandering paths. They are deep, narrow ruts with limited movement to the left or to the right. Deep, formidable, determined paths. He leads me down ruts of righteousness. Matthew 4 emphasizes this when Jesus says, "For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life." This is not a stroll through the pleasant day in the woods. The path we are led to follow, caused to be led to follow, are deep and they are narrow. Next word I'll give you, righteousness. Notice David did not use the word righteous describing the path. He did that in the word path. He described it in the word path, that deep entrenched rut. He didn't use righteous. These are not righteous paths. These are paths leading to righteousness, which is a noun. So a noun, a person, place, or thing. Righteousness is defined this way: that which is right and good, acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin. I think you know where this is pointing. This being a noun, and that being defined as one free from guilt or sin, there is only one individual to whom this could be pointing, and that is Jesus Christ. Our path of righteousness are paths, deep entrenched ruts toward Jesus Christ. This could only be Christ, and he is the destination where the Christian is being led. The narrow rut the Christian is being led through leads to Jesus Christ. He causes me to be led in paths of righteousness which are in Jesus Christ. Now, back to our question. What are these paths of righteousness? We know the goal. That is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But again, these ruts, these paths, what does God use, cause us to be led by in order to obtain that righteousness of Christ? This is the, and what we're being led through is the conduct of our lives. The paths, the rut we're being led through is the conduct, the living of our lives. What is our life consists of that would be referred to as paths of righteousness leading us to Christ? The first one is love. The first path is love. The great commandment from Matthew 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second one is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That always fascinates me when I read that passage. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. I got that. But then Matthew says, the Holy Spirit says, the second one is just like it. On the same parallel, on the same plane, love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, that's That's big stuff. That's big stuff. This path of love leads us to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbor with all that we are. And this is a deliberate act of love. It's not, well, if he deserves it, or if she, well, you know. No. Do you deserve God's love? No. Do I? No. But it's a deliberate act coming from God. It's the same for us. It is that deliberate act to love those, especially the unlovable. And everybody just had a name pop in your head. Or several? I hope not. Path of righteousness, first one is love. Secondly, the paths of righteousness are holy paths. Holy paths, meaning holy simply means to be set apart, to be separate, to be distinct. In Exodus 19, we read, "And unto me," God speaking to the Israelites, "and unto me you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." You shall be a kingdom of priests and a set apart nation. A holy nation, set apart. Peter calls it peculiar. Sheep don't normally like to separate. If you watch a herd of sheep out there, they're just like, everybody, just right there. People are the same. You guys are the same. Maybe not as tightly bound. And we have some individualistic ideas from time to time. But we like to be a part of the group. We like to be accepted. We don't like to be different, distinct, or Peter's word, peculiar. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes, "Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you." Go out away from them. Go out away out of the midst of them. Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Holy means to be separate, distinct, set apart. The path of righteousness includes being distinct, separate, set apart. The next path of righteousness involves being selfless. Denying self. Jesus says in Matthew 16, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself." This is not easy, nor is it normal for us. By and large, we're a very selfish people. We're a very self-centered people. I like me, I like mine, and I like my way. Some of us are stronger in that characteristic than others, but the person who is willing to take on the mantle of humility, pocket his or her pride, take the back seat without feeling like you're being used, this person will prosper greatly in the ministry and in the Christian life. Pride and selfishness are in distinct opposition to this path. When one can put away the idea of self-importance, that one will prosper greatly following this path. The next path of righteousness, following the Good Shepherd along these entrenched ruts, will lead to contentment. Contentment. I am content wherever the Lord has me. Early in my life, Judy can vouch for this, I was very challenged here. When we moved here, that was the 18th move. 18th move. I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere else in my life. I'm content. But I was not as a young man. They offered me a job in Alabama. Let's go. Let's go. Judy, pack up your truck. We're gone. I'm going to work Monday. Got bored easily. Fortunately, Duke had enough places to go that I didn't have to change companies. But I am content. I am content. Paul writes, "For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong." One author writes, and listen carefully to the global aspect of this and how content this gentleman writes. "If one really believes his affairs are in God's hands, every event, no matter whether joyous or tragic, will be taken as a part of God's plan." We talked about that in Sunday school. The sovereignty of God. Total control. "To know beyond doubt that he does all for our welfare is to be led into a wide area of peace and quietness and strength for every situation. I am content, whether weakness, insults, persecution, hardships, tragedy, I'm content." Now, these I've given you are just a few of the characteristics of paths of righteousness, and there are others. We could look to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit, singular fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All of those characteristics are paths that lead us to whom? To Jesus Christ. And becoming Christ-like, which is what the Lord seeks to do, what the Good Shepherd seeks to do as he leads us along these entrenched paths. These are blessings of the Spirit within us as we live our lives following the Good Shepherd along these paths of righteousness. However, following requires one more important path, if you will, rut, if you will. One more important factor to follow the Good Shepherd along paths of righteousness requires obedience. Obedience. Do you realize the middle three letters of the word obedience are die? Die. Obedience to follow the leading of the Good Shepherd means to do what he asks, to do what he commands, to go. Remember the sheep wandering? Go to that different field. Go where he leads. Say what he instructs us to say. John 15. "If you keep my commandments, if you obey my commandments, you will abide." And again, what does that word abide mean? Securely attached. Securely attached. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." We obey out of love, not trying to gain merit, not trying to gain favor. We love because God first loves us. And going back to that great commandment, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. This is obedience. This is obedience. The paths of righteousness we are being led to follow with our lives have many characteristics, and all are used to lead us toward that righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's one part of this verse yet, however, we have not addressed. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in these paths for his name's sake. For his. Why does God call the Christian to be led down these rutted paths of righteousness? For our benefit, for our sake? No. Not ultimately. Are we beneficiaries of this leading? Absolutely. Are we growing in Christ through this leading? I pray so. But ultimately, these paths of righteousness we are being led toward Jesus Christ, is for his name's sake. It is for God's glory alone that he leads us along these paths, because when these paths have found their fulfillment, on that judgment day and we have those resurrected, glorified bodies, God is going to be standing there, and you thought you were proud as a grandma or a grandpa when that baby come along? God is going to stand, Jesus Christ is going to stand there showing the world the glorified people because of his love. And we will stand there basking in his love, not ours. The motto of the Reformation, speaking of this, speaking of salvation, was this: by Scripture alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, for Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Our salvation, yes, tremendous gift for us, but it is for God's glory, ultimately. All the Christian ever does, all the Christian ever says, should always be directed for the glory of God alone. You see, it brings great glory and honor to God when we walk obediently these paths that he's given us. If we are obediently following, he gets the glory. We get the great benefit. Becoming Christ-like ain't a bad deal, but it is to God's glory. Peter writes in his first letter, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that, all of this is done in order that, in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belongs glory and dominion forever. It is for God's sake and glory that he causes us to be led down these paths of righteousness. So I pray that as we each follow these deep rutted paths, growing ever more like our Lord Jesus Christ, that we do indeed bring great glory and honor to our God. Amen and amen.